It is Tuesday morning. We usually check in with our good friend Tim Mayer from the Bloomington City Council. Tim's on assignment this morning. So in light of the busy, busy IU week, football and basketball, we've gone to our go-to guy from the Indianapolis Star, our good friend and beat writer for the men's basketball program and football program. It's Zach Osterman. Hey, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic, Glass. How about you?
Good. Thanks for making the time this morning. Say hello to your good buddy Keith Klein.
Hey, Zach.
We've already spoken this morning.
That's exactly right.
He answered the phone while you were dallying around drinking coffee.
That's right. I was eating tea and crumpets. I had bonbons the first hour with Summit Elementary Principal Nick McGinnis, but now we get into some heavy lifting here in hour number two. We'll give our listeners a break this morning. No annexation talk for now. Don't worry, that's not going anywhere. But a busy offseason for IU basketball and then a busy finish to the offseason for IU football. We'll see a lot of it happening this week. But let's start with the basketball angle for people just joining us or who were out of the loop yesterday. Indiana's roster has taken its first significant loss of the offseason. OG Anunoby, according to multiple sources, including yourself, has announced he will be hiring an agent and going pro. Two things here. Number one, you'll tell me it's not surprising, and I'll agree with you. Number two, let people know about the process of hiring an agent and how definitive that is.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's not surprising. He's a guy that was a potential lottery pick before the injury, and there are some people that still see him top 15 even with the injury. And if that's the case, if that your stock hasn't even been damaged terribly by that injury, then I think it would be fair of all parties involved to understand why OG Anunoby would want to move on. And frankly, from a standpoint of a stock, I mean, I'm not saying that he won't get better because he will, but the qualities that make him a really appealing NBA prospect, we kind of know a lot of them already. His length, his athleticism, his ability to shoot threes, rebound, and defend multiple positions. I don't know that there are a lot of NBA teams out there that would want to see him go back and do that more in college rather than maybe getting him into their system.
Especially at only 20 hours a week.
Right, and getting him healthy and then starting to really sort of develop the finer points of his game at the NBA level. And to your question about the agents, essentially you can declare, you've been allowed to do this for a while, you can declare for the NBA draft, not hire an agent, go through the parts of the pre-draft process and return. What's changed in the last couple of years is, number one, you can do that multiple times. You used to only be allowed to do that once. And number two, the withdrawal date for the NCAA has been extended out past the NBA Combine. So if you were invited to the NBA Combine or you set up any kind of, you know, team one-on-one workout, things like that, you can go through that without having an agent and then still return to college. So James Blackman, for example, did that last year and came back. He's done it again this year. We'll see, you know, what the whole process yields for him. Thomas Bryant might yet do it. We're not sure yet. But even if guys intend on returning, it is a chance to kind of get feedback from the next level. And obviously, if you use that feedback well, it can be good for you at the college level. If you do sign with an agent, as OG Anunoby plans to do, you forfeit the rest of your eligibility and you call time on.
Now, how does that work? And he can't work out at Cook Hall anymore. He can't be involved with the program doing drills. Nothing, right?
That's a good question. I believe he'd still be able to work out at Cook Hall. I think it would start to be organized team activities and things. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, he can't be part of the team anymore.
Right. I mean, NBA players come back
right, good point.
Routinely and work out in the offseason. But I'd also say when guys do that, they typically, I mean, OG Anunoby will probably at some level finish out, you know, the last few weeks of the semester, but they also typically, their agents and their agents, people that they're, you know, trainers and people like that their agent know and trust, are going to want them in different settings to work one-on-one to get them
well,
anyway.
And
OG Anunoby's in a different position because he's still recovering from
the
injury.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah.
All right, now here's the other timeline question for you. You gave us a little bit of a detail there. Thomas Bryant and James Blackman don't have to come out and tell us anything, do they? As far as college athletes go, they're on scholarship until they're not on scholarship. So whether they go to a pre-draft camp, whether they go through this process, there's not some day where IU's going to have a press conference on May 15th and say, okay, here's who's staying, here's who's going. This is a pretty fluid situation, right?
Well, you do have to file, I believe, there's paperwork you have to file to declare for the draft. And
yes.
There's a deadline for coming back, which is, I believe, if memory serves, 10 days after the NBA Combine. I don't remember when the NBA Combine ends this year, but it's usually early mid-May.
So until point, there is nothing that requires anybody to say anything. So if people are wondering why we haven't heard anything, it's just because this is what's going on right now, correct?
Well, yes, but, I mean, I think it would be unusual for a player to file for the NBA draft without hiring an agent, go through that process, and then return to college and nobody know they've done it. There's too many points at which that becomes public if you know, reporters find out that they've set up meetings with certain teams and workouts with certain teams, or, you know, obviously if they're invited to the NBA Combine, I mean, that's a list. The list of invitees is the NBA makes it public every year. So I don't think you'd be able to go through that whole process and then return and nobody realize you've done it, frankly.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. He is talking Indiana basketball and Indiana football with us here on a Tuesday morning. It's a busy week. We've heard rumors of Archie Miller's staff being put together, some kind of angle that there's going to be a grand announcement with all of them at one time. Multiple reports, Bruiser Flint, Tom Ostrom. Ed Schilling is a new one we heard over the weekend. Are these basically officially unofficial or unofficial official? Which way is that? Unofficially official.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can count on those reports, barring some late setback. I don't think all the I's are crossed and T's are dotted, as it were. But I that's what I would expect. Everything that's kind of floated out there, down to Clint Marshall as the strength and conditioning coach. I think just generally that is pretty close to being sort of fully rounded out.
Now, what about the guys that Archie Miller's trying to salvage from the Tom Crean era? We had a couple of recruits that decided, hey, I want out of my letter. The coaching change happened. We've seen Al Durham change his heart. There was a meeting, I guess, late last week with Clifton Moore, the big kid from Philadelphia. Give us an update there, and if we've heard anything from the young man from the Chicago area.
Well, the best I've heard from Justin Smith is that he plans to be at Indiana either way. Al Durham, I guess the term would be recommitted. He asked for his release from his letter of intent. So did Clifton Moore. And IU basically said, you know, look, can you give us a little time to get a new coach installed and meet with that new coach? And if you still feel like it's best to move on, we'll grant you release. Durham, I guess, if there's a technical term for what he's done, he's rescinded his request for a release from his letter of intent. He'll be coming to Indiana. And then Clifton Moore has always kind of been the wild card in the bunch. He's a sort of a late-blooming prospect out of Philadelphia that people felt actually was potentially a really, really sort of undervalued high-major prospect. He met over the weekend with his family and Archie Miller, and it's not clear yet kind of where his thinking is regarding whether or not that meeting is going to keep him to the fold.
And Clifton Moore from the Philadelphia area, Bruiser Flint, coached at Drexel the last 15 years, Philly connection there. It's a wonderful game of cloak and dagger at some point, isn't it? You can just connect all these magical random dots that equal into something. Zach Osterman's our guest this morning with the Indianapolis Star. You can find him at Zach Osterman. Football, football, football. The Cream and Crimson spring game wraps up the Indiana Hoosiers spring football schedule, 7 o'clock Thursday at Memorial Stadium. John Gruden's going to be here. It's Tom Allen's first game. Richard Lego is back in the fold with a year underneath his belt. We saw some very positive things from him last year and some things that made us a little frustrated as football fans. Where is he going to be entering year number two, and what do we expect to see with the pigskin on Thursday night?
Well, I think a big question with Lego, or really any question about Lego, has to start first with that offense and just kind of where things are in terms of installation, an entirely new offensive staff, one that started with Mike DeBoer and Grant Hurd being hired in, early mid-January. So, I mean, they've been drawing it up, and those are two guys you're talking about, the offensive coordinator, passing game coordinator. Those are two guys that are really going to kind of be the brain trust in some ways, the offense, but the rest of that staff has kind of come together over the last couple of months. you know, they've talked about install as something they've done very deliberately. You know, that they're not trying to put too much in too fast in the spring. How complex will things have gotten by the time we see the spring game Thursday night? And then, again, you know, what's changed for a guy like Richard Lego? We've heard both him and Tom Allen talk about being more mobile, not necessarily being a dual-threat quarterback, but a guy that can move the pocket, you know, sprint rollout, the occasional read option. How has maybe the role of the running back changed in the offense? Obviously, you're going to be looking at sort of who's filling those holes that Indiana's got now on its offensive line. But just anything, any discussion of Lego, any discussion of Sidney Cobb, whatever, has to start with just where Indiana is offensively, how complex they're ready to get, and not just how complex they can get, but how complex they want to get on film when you got a conference full of teams knowing you're putting a new offense in.
Zach Osterman is our guest this morning. He's with the Indianapolis Star, talking hoops and football here on a busy Thursday. And the Cream and Crimson game is coming up on Thursday night. It's free. Let's remember, the doors open at 5 o'clock. Free food, free parking, free everything. John Gruden's going to be the ESPN's numero uno. The big analyst will be at the park. Is this the Hoosier hysteria of football, Zach, or is this more structured and more football-orientated than maybe the dunk contest and a little scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little more just sort of structured. I've always kind of looked at it more as like a slightly uncontrolled scrimmage. And when I say uncontrolled, I mean that, you know, there are some coaches that'll just do all situations and things like that. There are some coaches that'll turn it loose into more of a game. It does serve some of the same purposes in that, you know, often you can get a lot of recruits at your spring game. We'll see if that works out with it being on a Thursday night as opposed to a Saturday. But even then, you know, truthfully, recruits visiting in the spring is often based more on their spring break than on the date of your spring game. So you get a lot of guys who will come in, you know, just through March and early April because they've got a week off and they can make some of those campus visits. So it's not really, I mean, you probably get some of the same festive atmosphere and obviously, it comes at a different point in the sports calendar, if you will. You know, the Hoosier Hysteria is kind of a season kickoff where a spring practice is kind of its own contained thing away from the season. But I think it probably serves some more technical purposes than Hoosier Hysteria typically does.
Zach, are we going to see anything in this game that'll show us what we might expect from this team in the fall?
Well, I do think you want to watch how Richard Lego performed. I mean, he performed very well in last year's spring game, and that was kind of the first moment where you looked at, and I know he had some obvious ups and downs last fall, but that was the first moment last spring where you kind of said, this guy might have the leg up in this race. I think you've got some guys coming back from injury, guys like Sidney Cobbs. I'm really curious to kind of see how the wide receivers are used in this offense. Grant Hurd's always been a guy that really valued big, tall, strong guys at wide receiver. You look at his time at Ole Miss, you've got Cobbs, Donovan Hale, Jonah Morris, Nick Westbrook,
the world famous Kameon Patrick. Where is he going to fit into all this?
Well, and he's been, my understanding is he's been kind of in and out of activity with a couple health issues. So I don't know
he can't
exactly
get
how active he'll be. But you also want to figure out what the running back rotation looks like behind him. You know, we've got to figure out that there are a number of, the last 2 years have been pretty rough on Indiana's offensive line, just in terms of guys that they've had to let go after the NFL or graduation. You know, are the Coy Cronks, Brandon Knights, Simon Stepaniaks, Hunter Littlejohn, Delroy Bakers, Devondre Loves of the world really ready to really step in and sort of provide kind of new faces, new blood at those positions? I think there's a lot more questions on offense, I would say, strangely, just because that defense obviously had a good year last year, but also returns a lot. You know, I mean, Mark Soliver and Ralph Green are the two big losses from last season, but there's a lot else back on that side of the ball. There's just a lot of holes to fill on offense. There's a lot of guys that were wondering how healthy are they or how much have they improved from last year. And then the undercurrent to all that is, what does that offense actually look like in practice as opposed to in theory?
And the next, the other part of that will be, you know, Kevin Wilson was not opposed to playing freshman right off the bat. Did you get the same sense from Tom Allen? If you're good enough, you're old enough?
I think That's a good question. And, I mean, it's obviously one that's going to be hard to answer in a spring game.
Sure.
Too many. But there were some.
Are they expecting help on the way?
And, well, there were, first of all, there were some early enrollees. You know, there were some mid-year guys. So if we see some of them in the mix, that could be part of the answer to your question. I guess my sense, I mean, Tom Allen, you know, was happy to play Marcelino Ball and A'shaun Riggins a ton of snaps last fall. I don't think he's going to hold a guy back. Everybody's got their own philosophies on that. I think Kevin Wilson probably would have said that he'd like to redshirt as many of his players as he could in their freshman year. But if you were just, as you said, if you were just so good that you couldn't be kept out of the rotation, he wasn't going to force you to sit out a year either. I guess my sense is Tom Allen will take that approach as well, just based on what he did on defense last season. But I can't answer that question for sure until we get through fall camp and really start to get into the meat of the season and see how he's handling his young players.
Outstanding work as always, my friend. We appreciate it. The Cream and Crimson spring football game is Thursday night at 7 p.m. If you'd like to hear more from Coach Allen, he joins Joe Smith live tonight at Yogi's. Fred Glass is part one of the program, and part two is Coach Allen. We'll hear about the rosters, how they were put together. Kind of an interesting way to do that. That's kind of the fun that goes with this, right? You have the draft and you have the free agency. There's nothing to read into that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... I think Kevin Wilson did something similar to that. That's just, I think, trying to kind of make it competitive, trying to make it, give guys a little bit of ownership of it. I mean,
get you a little buzz on social media to get people aware that the game's coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who all is on which side, but don't be surprised if you see some guys change, you know, teams as well, just so that Indiana can work through different personnel formations, things like that, as the game goes along. But I think it's just a way to make things a little bit fun.
Exactly right. And Tom Allen's his first spring game, for the program. And onward and upward. Here we go. 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Basketball news. We'll just see it when it pops out. And we'll get back with you here probably later this month when some of these things start shaking out. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.